Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Hello and thank you for inviting me into your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and the Bible said we must rejoice and be glad therein. So we're going to rejoice. I'm glad that you've tuned my way. And I hope you're praying right now that some soul will be saved to hear the gospel and maybe have never committed their life to Christ. I pray that this will be the very day. Well, I'm glad for you. I appreciate you. I love you. And I hope that you can say the same about me. So let's get right into our broadcast today and do a song I've been doing for many years. And this is said, I'm going to make it on home someday.
Saved me, my sins forgave me, and he started me on my way home. He said, son, don't you worry, there's no need to hurry, for you won't have to walk it alone. And I'm gonna make it all I just find myself alone too, and I pray till everything gets all right. For in his word he assures me, on my knees he secures me, and I know he's gonna see me through the night. And I'm gonna make
the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. I will not make it on home one day. I'm glad I got a place to go to. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare that place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So I'm glad for that. I'm glad that Jesus Christ assured me that when my eyes are closed in death here, I'll only wake up in glory. I've done told Brother Ernie Barley. He said I was one of the strutting preachers he ever saw. I said, Brother Ernie, you haven't seen me strut yet. You wait till we get on the streets of gold in heaven, and we're going to strut all over heaven together. So I'm glad for that. And I want to remember Bobby Coulter and Cinda and Alicia. I appreciate talking with them this week. And then also we want to remember Shirley, his brother, who's been having some problems. Hope Shirley's doing well. I hope you're listening to the broadcast today, Shirley. We're praying for you. And all of our friends, we pray for you every day. And I hope you're praying for me also. So let's go right back and listen to this song.
Golden light, golden light. Oh, well, my sins, they're gone, golden light. I've had a long streak of that bad, bad time. Sins, they were gone at last. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It paid my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. It's gone at last. It's gone at last. Oh, well, my sins, they're gone, gone at last. I've had a long string of bad, bad time. My sins, they're gone at last. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. Oh, well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. They're gone at last, they're gone at last. Oh, well, my sins, they're gone, gone at last. I've had a long string of bad, bad times, but my sins, they're gone at last. Well, I may have doubt and fear, my eyes be filled with tears. Jesus, a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. They're gone at last. They're gone at last. Oh, well, my sins, they're gone, gone at last. I've had a long string of bad, bad time, but my sins, they're gone at last. They're gone to
life. Well, you may say, preacher, where are they going to? They're under the blood. Once Jesus Christ saves you, he covers it with blood. And his blood can cleanse us from all sin. Daryl, hope you're hearing the broadcast this morning way out there in Arizona. Daryl is one of my web servers, and Dana, his brother, is over in Princeton. And we can pick up our ministry on stbi.org on any internet, and we're worldwide, and it's not because of me, but it's because of Daryl and Dana. They committed their life to that, and I've committed my ministry to them, and they're going to carry it on. If I would pass away tomorrow, they'll carry it right on along. So I'm glad for that, and I appreciate you, Daryl. I appreciate your faithfulness to listen to the broadcast and your faithfulness to support the broadcast also. And I just want to say that I love you and I appreciate you. Appreciate everything you and Dana are doing to keep my ministry going. I've been preaching a long time. If I go to February, it'll be 60 years. I said one day, I was listening to John Hagee, and he said he had served 60 years of ministry. And I said, well, John, if you can do it, I can do it also. So I'll be pushing in February. I will be pushing 60 years of ministry. And I've been on radio almost ever since I started my ministry. But anyhow, and I will be praying for you.
That he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the sea that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, and sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spit upon, rejected and mourned. Oh, still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. He grew the tree that he
Well, Martha's gone home to be with the Lord, but her voice is just clear, and when I play her songs, it's just like she's right here before the mic. I can remember when we taped these songs, and we've got several songs by her that we love to play. I love to play Martha, and I like to sit here and just listen to her as she sings for us. So we're going to go right back now and do an old standby. This one has been done a long time. We've been doing this song together for many years, and I want you to get a listen to. I know you're going to enjoy it. It's called The Old Ship of Zion.
I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's trough. Oh, see, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? It's all was bent and battered from the storms of life. I could see waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stands the captain. I can hear as he calls out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion, and it may never pass this way again. Christ's death. On board I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion, sailing out on the old ship of Zion.
Well, people love that song. Me and Martha used to sing that together, and we loved that song. It just kind of, you know, songs have got to fit your personality, and that one fit our personality. And we did that song. I remember James and Louise today. I hope James is home and doing well. And Louise, I appreciate you, and I appreciate James. And I appreciate Ernie and Betty Joe. I'll tell you, these people, I just love to go back to Dropping Lick and sit down with old friends. And I got pictures of that church when I was pastoring there, and I'll tell you, we just had such great fellowship outside. We had a dinner when I left, and it seemed like yesterday. I've often thought about going back to Linside, but I tell you, my heart is in Linside. I love that church, and I'm praying for that church. I got it on my mind, got it on my heart, but I can't go back. I'm getting too old. I can't go back and do the things that I used to do. If I could, I'd be right there in the pulpit tomorrow. But anyhow, I'm praying for all of you at the Linside United Methodist Church.
In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, the Bible says this: the fool makes a mockery of sin. Straight talk in our modern society today is a very rare commodity. Mr. T.S. Eliot, a writer of theology, made this statement: we humans cannot bear very much reality. We are divided over many different things. What is right? What is wrong? What is good? What is bad? What we should do and what we shouldn't do. Moreover, we have made the wrong things the right things, and the right things seem to be the wrong things. Wickedness is growing more wickeder every day. Wicked people are hardening in the wickedness of their sin. They have made laughter of the matters of sin and also the matter of others. They make a light matter of their own sin because they cannot recognize their sin. A recent poll was made not long ago, and 58% said this: Satan is not a living being. He's only the symbol of evil. 29% said the ideal of sin has been outdated. 32%, many of the things that preachers preach about today, they're really not sin. We do not want to hear the good thing about life today. And life consists of good and evil. Life consists of bad and evil. It seems today that we just don't hear good and we don't listen to what God is saying. Isaiah 59:1 says, ears are heavy that they cannot hear. Man's perception and opinion has been altered over the years. Man has called it an accident, but God has called it an abomination. Man calls it a chance, but God has called it a choice. Man has called it a defeat, but God is calling it a disease. Man is calling it luxury. To God, it is leprosy. Man has called it a mistake, but God has called it madness. Man calls it weakness, but God calls it willfulness. In Proverbs chapter 14 also, in verse 12, God calls any person a fool who would look at sin differently than he does. The Bible still says, the soul that sin, it shall surely die. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And today, we make that choice. Three truths I'd like to speak about today that must be considered about sin. Step number one is reproach of sin that must be explained. verse 9, fools make a mock of sin. The Bible said the fool says in his heart there is no God. But one of the translations said the fool would like to say in his heart there was no God. Because God has become the issue. And it's become an issue of our Supreme Court. It's become an issue of the Ten Commandments. The schools and colleges down in Florida, they said that God is the problem of our nation. But God needs to be the center focus of our nation. Because the verse 34 said, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin not only brings reproach, but it will leave its mark upon every life. In Psalms 32, 3 and 4, in verse 4, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of the summer. Isaiah describes its marks in Isaiah 1, verse 5 and verse 6. The whole head is sick and the heart is fainting. From the soles of the foot even to the head there is no soundness. Wounds and bruises and petrifying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. James describes the marks of sin in James 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Susan Wesley defines sin to her son John Wesley. Whatever weakens your reasons, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, and makes the relish of spiritual things, that to you is a sin. There was a painter who painted a picture. He wanted to use a very common person. He painted a picture of the most beautiful person upon the street. The person with countenance, the person with that eyes who sparkle with the glamour and the beauty of life. He painted the picture, and it was a beautiful portrait. He wanted to go back and paint the reverse side of a fallen person. He went out on the streets again. He chose a person. He chose that person because that person had been sin-beaten. Their eyes were laden with sin. Their life was laden with sin. You could see it in their countenance. They chose them to paint the picture of a person who was laden with sin and the marks of sin. He painted the picture, and it true enough was. It was a picture of a down-beaten person. After the picture had been painted, the man made the statement, "Hey, you painted my picture before." And the person said, "When did I do that?" And they related back to the picture of the person with the beautiful countenance. But now sin has taken control of the life. And sin has changed the entire person into a picture of what sin can really do. You see, there is misery in sin. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap the Spirit and life everlasting." Sin will bring about some results. There is some results that are brought in sin. Proverbs 14 and 12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." In Mark 8 and 36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his very soul?" Verse 37, "What shall he give in exchange for his soul?" Sin will bring damnation. And sin that brings damnation should be a sin that should be feared. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, verse 15, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them." Verse 12, "And I saw the dead, the small and the great, as they all stood before God. And there was a great separation, because those who had lived the life of sin were separated. The Bible said the unprofitable servant was taken, cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, sir, don't be a fool. Don't mock the thing that God said is sin. God does not want to harm you. God wants to help you. Hell was not prepared for you, sir. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil is very persuasive. Sin will only last for a little while. But joy with God will last throughout the eternal ages. Judgment will come against sin. The soul that sins, it will be judged. We will stand before the just judge, and there will be judged for the sins and the deeds that's done in this body. You go to hell simply because you rejected the God who is willing and able to deliver you from your sin. Jesus told a story about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man did not go to hell because of his riches. The poor man did not go to heaven because he was a poor man. It simply was a picture of the rejection of Christ. The rich man had the opportunity. The poor man took advantage of the opportunity. And today, we can do the same thing. You can reject Christ and be forever lost. You can accept Christ and be forever saved. And the rich man died without God. He lifted up his eyes. He was in hell. The poor man lifted up his eyes, and he was in eternal bliss. And today, we can do the same thing. The fool that makes a mock of sin, when you say that we will not be judged for our sin, God is so loving that He will not put us into hell. Yes, that's true. God is loving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God will have to judge the person who has rejected Him. And when the judgment comes, then who will the fool and his outline be? Will he be like the man who built the barns, woke up that night to hear the voice of God say, "Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required to thee." You do not have to die in your sin. Sins can be forgiven. Look to Christ, the author, the finisher of your faith, and say to Him, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner I am," and God will save you. Another picture of two men go to the temple to pray. One beat upon his chest. And why did he go to Calvary? Why was his lifeblood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one who loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me.
I spoke to a man one time, and he said, "How come you always preaching on sin? How come you're always preaching about sin?" I said, "Well, that is the damnation of every man. Every man is born in sin. Don't be fooled with that. I don't care how good a man you are. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you pay in your tithes. I just don't care about those things because you're a sinner. You need salvation. And God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son for you. He died just for you. He loves you. And no one ever cares for you like Jesus." And I told a man, I said, "Well, if I refuse to warn the wicked to flee from his ways, then God will require his blood at my hands. And I don't want your blood on my hands, sir. I want to be guilty of telling you that sin is damnable. It will destroy your life. You can have a better life in Jesus Christ." He said, "I come that you might have life, and it could be more abundantly." So why don't you confess Christ this morning and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner I am, and save me for Christ's sake." And He will save you the moment you confess your sins.
Jesus,
you could write to me, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia. Again, that's 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.